This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, it's Wednesday morning. It's the 6th of June. Feels like a whole coven of witches were camping here overnight. It's so cold. But then I suppose that's true for the whole goddamn country this morning. Apparently Cape Town's been miserable with all the wind and the rain, and it's that combo, you know? That's the thing that people complain about in Cape Town, is it's like,
We don't mind the rain because we've had a drought. We normally don't mind the wind because it brings the rain, but we don't like the wind and the rain at the same time.
Oh, shame.
Yeah, you know how it goes. But like we were saying yesterday, thank God we don't have volcanoes and tornadoes and stuff like that that they have in other parts of the world. Good morning, everybody. So much to get into today. I watched this show. I don't know if you've seen it. It's on one of the channels. I think History Channel, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's called Forged in Fire. Have you seen it?
No, it sounds like a sword-making show.
It is. It's this blade-making show. No, it's amazing. They've got these guys. You know how you get into something?
So spot on, Ben.
Yeah.
Thanks, yeah.
You get into something, and you're following like the judges on Instagram, and you're looking at all these knives, and I must have devoted like 2 solid hours of my life to this show and to blade making and to finding out who these guys are. And you know, because once you dangle that bait in the water for me, I go for it like an idiot.
But that's the amazing thing about where we are in entertainment. In the past, we'd watch something and we have to wait a whole week.
I know.
Nothing but like the shreds that we've been given. Now we can find out who the people are, we can research them, we can actually follow them, we can interact with them, we could even have a conversation with them specifically.
Absolutely.
Potentially.
I mean, isn't that great? Like, that's just terrific. Mm. It used to, honestly, like Ben's saying, you'd have to wait another week to get some scrap of information. If you were a fan of a certain band, you'd have to buy, in the old days,
Nickelback.
You'd have to buy magazines that had the lyrics to the songs in them, and that would be enough to keep you going to the next week. I mean, lyrics. Now you could just look up lyrics. It's like, oh, that's dumb.
Or you'd buy these dumb magazines, and you'd see a picture of them in concert, and you'd go,
wow.
See them live. The poster in the middle of a U magazine, don't get me started.
Yeah, and you'd know the names of all the people in the band, but there was no internet to look it up, so you'd have to scramble around and search and subscribe to like 10 different music mags, and maybe they'd be in the one that you least expected. You know how it is. I mean, it's like, I'm talking a long time ago now. I'm not talking even the 90s. I'm talking about the late 80s when I started taking a real interest in music.
Wow.
And what they'd do is they'd print a picture, usually from the album anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who was by? I was a kid. I didn't have a whole lot of money. So the closest I'd get to the album is to see the picture of the album in the magazine. And then you'd read the lyrics to some of the songs, and you'd try and like record it off the radio with a cassette tape.
Did you ever have a lyric book?
No,
because I know that would be
the next level
with my sisters.
That would be like saying, "Hi, please give me a wedgie." Like,
yeah, if you had that's like writing your own poetry.
No, it was when you would listen to your favorite song on a cassette and you would stop and press and play every now and then.
And you'd write.
Yes.
Yeah, you'd write down the lyrics.
So that you can...
Yeah, so you did have one.
No. Busted. No, I didn't have a lyric. No, I just imagined that that's what people would do because it mattered. You were like, this is my favorite band. I'm going to know what their lyrics or their songs are.
But it's funny because we had to join the dots so much in those days that we actually probably were bigger fans. Now it's just like, well, let me see it. And everything gets flopped out in front of you.
It's consumer. So, you know, you love a song now, and within a week you've got another favorite song. Mm. A favorite song used to last. Oh, do this, by the way. Look up the number one song on your 20th birthday, and it's supposed to be the song that defines your life. I saw someone... This is nonsense, obviously, but it was on Facebook.
Number one song.
So look up Billboard. Look up Billboard with your date of birth, but add 20 years to your date of birth, so when you were 20 years old. And that's supposed to be the song that defines your life?
When was that? 20?
See what you come up with. I ended up with... I'll play mine, and then you can laugh at me. Or maybe not. Maybe you like it.
Okay.
You got yours?
Nearly there.
Okay, don't say it yet. Don't say it yet. I'll tell you what mine is. And let's compare notes. Let's see who gets the worst song.
I think I've got it.
You have? All right, well, here's mine, and you'll know this song. Thank God at least it's a well-known song. It's not some bizarre sort of song on its own that comes out of nowhere.
Look into my eyes.
Oh, Brian Adams.
You will see.
This is supposed to be my 20th birthday.
You mean to
me. Isn't the Robin Hood song?
That's right, it is.
Yeah.
So there, that's the defining song of my life, according to this poll that they had on Facebook.
Are you happy with that?
That's not bad. I mean, I don't hate the song.
You'll search no more.
I mean, these lyrics I can still remember.
Tell me it's not worth trying for.
It was from Robin Hood, that's right.
Can't tell me.
That really bad one starring Alan Rickman.
Kevin Costner.
Yeah. With the long hair. That's
Kevin right. Costner with long hair was firing the arrows.
Everything I do.
Right. So what's yours, Sia? Come on. Let's go.
You, just as a reminder, this was 3 years ago.
Yeah,
so.
I know. It's not so long.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God.
When did you turn 23?
Jeez.
Oh, no. He's advanced in age.
No, because I
What's
I
the
actually,
song? What's the song?
Uptown Funk, Bruno
oh,
Mars.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I just, like, realized this. I'm like,
and that really is a defining song
like
for you, actually.
2 seconds ago.
That is a defining kind of song for you, Sia, if you ask me.
You guys are pulling up the classics, and I'm pulling out Uptown Funk.
This still feels current.
It's a relative classic.
All right.
I'm happy with this, as long as it's not like, you know, Britney Spears.
Mubs, what you got?
50 Cent in the club.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is that defining for you in some way?
No.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Go, shorty.
I don't know so much.
Family in the club.
Yeah, come on, Mavs. This is your song. This
hey,
is,
the
this
music
is the
video
one.
Was iconic.
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Dun, dun. Still remember the words?
Well, you know, there are some of the hardest lyrics in the world. Go, shorty, it's your birthday.
We go party
like it's your birthday.
We're going to sip Bacardi.
Like it's your birthday.
And we don't give a fuck, it's not your
birthday. Lyrical genius.
And you know what? It was your birthday when this was number one. Dun, dun. All right, very nice. Ben, what's yours?
Lifehouse, Hanging by a Moment.
Oh, wow. Okay. Not a bad song. But that's a horrible sentiment.
You think?
Yeah, it's a pretty horrible sentiment. I mean, I'm hanging by a moment. It's not how you want your life to find.
Maybe it's true. Maybe this is what's most depressing about it.
Crap song. You don't like it, huh?
No.
Let's go.
Destined for changes. Starving for truth.
Starving for truth.
Closer to where I started. We're chasing after you. I'm falling even more in love with you.
I mean, it's a love song. It's not a depressing.
Sounds like teen angst.
It's good. I mean, it's a lovely song.
Tell you make me move. I'm by a moment here with you.
Not a bad chorus. It's not bad. All right, so there
so
we go.
So basically, I'm just a tragic romantic who is just hanging by moments, could go in the wind.
Yeah, you could.
At any juncture.
You could.
If you squint at the lead singer of Lifehouse, doesn't he sound a bit like Ross from Prime Circle?
Completely.
Squint
at him.
If you just
oh,
he
does. Sounds oh, right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
He has their...
Especially in the beginning.
Yeah. It's almost like he sings with a curled tongue. Yeah, this is...
Yeah, that was your best singing moment of the show.
Oh, are
don't,
you saying I
then
could
don't
be a Ross?
It,
okay,
no,
stop,
that was
stop,
giving
stop,
a perspective.
Stop.
If you can impersonate someone, that's his limit. That's
so his here's limit. Chris. He says, mine is The Boy Is Mine by ooh. Brandy and Monica. And that's
yes.
shameful, says
that,
Chris.
Own it,
that's
Chris.
Shameful because I'm a guy.
That, own it. Just own it.
That is
a your bad song,
a
right?
Classic.
it came up on my playlist the other day while I was driving.
Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? Yeah. You
know, and then they had the instrumental, and then they had the remix.
That was great.
What makes this game so fun is like star signs. You can find your own meaning.
Oh, sure. Mine is Crazy in Love from Beyonce, says someone else. And then Michelle said, oh my God, I'm so old. My song is I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Nice.
Ooh. Oh, Michelle, you are old. I remember I was driving to school in like, Jesus, I wasn't driving. I was being driven by my mother to school. And that song was such a big song. Do you remember for like 2 years, it was all over the radio. You could not. There was no channel that didn't play it. They were all playing Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she loved everyone who did Whitney back in those days.
Jesus.
Everyone.
And then when music talent shows started, they all ruined that song.
Oh.
Because everyone with a soprano thought that they could pull it off.
Right.
Ooh.
But what also happened with that song?
What?
Soundtrack to The Bodyguard with Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner is always a common denominator.
Kevin Costner's everywhere.
Kevin Costner was the 90s. Seriously, hey, that guy can actually own a decade. Somehow he got into everything.
Do you guys realize like that woman who was in here yesterday, that Canadian actress?
The Canadian Meryl Streep.
She really has been everywhere. I mean, did you take a look at some of the movies she's been in? Jesus. She should be a much bigger star than she is. And I'm not saying that people ignore her, but like she's done... I remember Air Force One with Harrison Ford.
Well, Gareth, she was
on the big movie.
She was on this show. I mean, she's a big star.
Oh, come on. Anyway. Oh, someone says, mine is fucking TikTok from Kesha. Jeez. That's Julian.
Oh,
that's horrible. I'm sorry. That is really horrible.
TikTok. Oh, shame.
I'm an open-minded guy, says somebody else. This is Robert. He says, yesterday I had acupuncture in my ears. I'm exploring meditation. That PPAP song isn't that bad. I could be convinced to skydive, and sometimes I completely switch off when Ben speaks. But this cold shower thing? Fuck that. Jeez. So Robert's just... That's basically a long-winded complaint about cold showers. He's tried it and didn't like it.
Robert, grow a pair, dude, and carry on with your life. I have a little bitch to us in the morning.
Acupuncture in the ear.
Wow. I don't know if that's a good idea.
I wonder what that's meant to do.
I don't think it's meant to do anything good.
And, oh, no, it just doesn't.
I think like if you've got tinnitus, that's the last step, is you're like, please put needles in my ears.
All right, if you're sticking needles in your ears, you are pretty open-minded, though.
All right, listen. There's a story that it's just horrifying. I don't know if you saw this, but Miss America, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, she's beauty and she's grace.
Oh, my God.
She's Miss United
States.
Listen, Sia knows the song. Sia actually knows the song. Wow. Miss America has scrapped their swimsuit competition.
Oh, there she is.
And they say women no longer have to wear evening gowns. Oh. As the chairwoman, Gretchen Carlson, who used to be on Fox News, promises contestants won't be judged on their physical appearance. Now, I hate to say it, but then what's the point?
No, they will still be judged on their physical appearance. They're just, they're just not making them wear certain things anymore.
Well, apparently, according to Gretchen Carlson, Miss America is now not a pageant, but a competition.
For base... And what are you judged on?
I don't know.
They're going to start doing burpees and pull-ups.
Because if it's a competition about mathematics, then it's a Miss Mathematics. If it's to be an all-rounder, maybe they should run in politics, because that's probably an area they could be judged on, their character and their policies and all of that stuff. Maybe if it's a corporate sort of competition, you can go for the job as CEO. But Miss America is a beauty contest. Otherwise, what's the point?
Now, the other day, Women of Color had a great idea for a TV show. I think an even better idea for a reality show is The Real Miss America. So you combine like Amazing Race, Survivor, Do You Think You're Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, all these different things. They've got to traverse the country from coast to coast.
Yeah.
And then you get a winner, this disheveled woman who arrives at the Golden Gate Bridge, runs through this like finishing line. That's it.
Yeah.
Women will instead participate in a live interactive session with the judges. And instead of gowns, women can wear anything that makes them feel confident.
How?
Swimsuit. What if you say a swimsuit makes you feel confident?
Right. I mean, that's what I'd love. I'd vote for her. You know,
no, they must try it. I mean, listen, how long have these pageants been around? Since 18 something something.
Yeah, that's since the dawn of civilization.
I mean, imagine what these women were wearing back then. They weren't wearing bathing suits. They weren't wearing evening gowns, you know? The bathing suits.
No, they're probably naked in the first ones.
The bathing suits and the evening gowns only came with time, and even then, when they were introduced, there must have been so much shock and horror, like, how dare they be naked?
Yeah, you make a good
point. And now they're going back to being dressed. This is part of the change.
So, what if someone wants to come out in a hoodie and jeans?
Then they must come out in a hoodie and jeans.
They'll be applauded for being progressive.
I wonder what this is going to do. Whether it'll up the ratings or lower them.
I think the ratings have been dropping for a while.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Any case, like,
that's why they're doing this, because they're trying so hard. Their last thing to do is taking the so-called moral high ground.
But whatever happened
their last
to
play?
Like, whatever happened to just judging someone on their looks? I think that there's something beautiful about that.
No,
I
that
mean,
happens.
I'm a very superficial person.
No, that happens
do
every day of our lives.
Yes, I know.
You see a hot person across the road.
But that's a
you
subjective
immediately like judge them on their looks. It happens every day of our lives.
I get you, but that's so subjective and personal. What I want is a large global contest where we decide who the hottest people are. That I like. I like the idea of that. Ranking people by their appearance. Saying to them, you are the hottest person in the world. I love that. I know I'm superficial and that's probably archaic. Maybe a little bit dumb. Do like it, though.
No, I mean, you are superficial, but then again, so are all of us.
Yeah.
The only thing about us ranking them on a global scale is we very quickly then start to disagree and fight amongst ourselves because personal tastes. So, you know, a People magazine will say, Julia Roberts is the most beautiful woman in the world. And then somebody comes from the left and says, no!
Yeah, exactly.
She looks like a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Right. Like, you can never win with these things.
I reckon we should have the best people. So the real Miss America, the real Mr. America. But you got to go do a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like 6 months. And you might die.
Okay. No,
like, you have to swim in a certain part of the ocean. You have to go and, like, live in like a really rough neighborhood while you try to get kids off crack. You've got to do a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
You know what? Get over yourself, because you're really, really not pretty.
Yeah, you see.
I mean, if Tan Mom is telling you you're not pretty, you know. But I do think there's something to be said for, like, just evaluating someone in one category. Like, one category. Because this idea of Benz is, like, you know, it's good, but it means having to be good at so many things.
Which is great, because they're looking for an ultimate, the title, Miss America.
Yeah.
You've got to be the Miss of an entire country.
You've got to be the Miss.
Like, you are the Miss of every, like, Miss World.
I
what have
you
done for the whole world? Yeah. Have you even seen the whole world?
Well, what have you done for the whole universe when you're Miss Universe?
Well, there we go.
Have you explored
propel
other
them
planets?
Right out there into the galaxy.
Yeah, so then you should be on Jupiter some of the time.
Yeah.
You should do a tour of Venus.
Elon Musk,
you should train with the astronauts to go to wherever it is that the astronauts go every now and again.
Yeah, you can't be Miss Universe if you haven't left Earth, right? You can't. You're not allowed. That's ridiculous. Miss Earth or Miss World, sure. It's the world.
Mm.
But the universe? Jesus, that's cheeky as hell. At least have gone up in a satellite into, you know, the stratosphere.
Also, these days, Instagram is where beauty pageants happens.
Yes.
Miss Slay Queen.
True.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
There we go.
Sure.
Now, there's a competition that I'd watch. Imagine you get all the Slay Queens off of Instagram and they all out-bitch each other for some blessing.
Miss Slay Queen, Mr. Abs.
That's it. Okay, got it. Got an idea.
Okay.
We instead of the Bachelor, we do the Blesser. You have the Blesser. He's just a rich, fat, unattractive, but extremely generous man who's looking for a Slay Queen. That's all. He's not looking for a wife or a girlfriend. Keep it simple. He just wants someone to give him physical pleasure when he demands it, and she could spend his money in return.
And then every week, are there certain...
Yeah, there are challenges. And, like, you've got to run and then do a somersault and then immediately a blowjob.
I feel like for this to
be... narrow the crowd down.
I feel like for this to be legitimate, the Bachelor has to be from Dubai. No other Bachelor comes close to the wealth of the people in Dubai.
Right.
Sorry, you just don't compete.
I mean, obviously, we're going to franchise the idea. So we start off here, you know, Mzansi Bachelor, Lesser, and then we go global.
You find them here. You source them here. You say, all right, if you want to get to the level of those Dubai girls, those ones who are on Instagram on the yachts and so on. Mm. You need to start by impressing us here, as Ben says, but the finale is in Dubai. And you got, maybe you got more than one blesser. You need like a panel of blessers. Mm.
But also, I mean, what was the total prize package for Miss SA this year? Like 3 million?
Over 3 million, right?
So I feel like also for Miss Slay Queen, she's got to have, like, you've got to make it worth it.
Yeah, it's got to be substantial money.
Yeah, she's got to, like, she's got to walk away with prize money with a minimum of 6 euros attached to it.
Isn't that easy, though? Because you just
that'll up the competition stakes.
Like, we don't have to find that money. The blessers will provide.
Yes, yeah. No. That's what I'm saying. Dubai nice. Princes.
I like this.
They can finance it.
I really like this idea.
You know, you mentioned something like that, but it's not far off at mm-mm. all. Because yesterday, I was minding my own business, and I landed on a South African author. Her name is Jackie Pamotse. Mm-hmm. And she is a former model, and has now written a book called Bear, which is her true life encounter in what she's dubbed the hockey club.
What's the hockey
club about that?
I mean, I saw it on Twitter and I got nervous, so I didn't go into what it's about.
What is it?
The hockey club is this name for this mansion in Bryanston here in Johannesburg.
It's not the hockey group with old Margaret who showed off her beaver.
Has Margaret taken the beaver to the mansion?
No. But it's where all of these rich men go. And you know, if you land up there, you are looking for a rich man, and he'll say, okay, I want you, and you do this to that one, and I'll pay
you
this much.
Anyone can go in?
Not anyone. You need to know the right people in the right places. And now this author, Jackie, is basically going out and dropping massive hints and alluding to...
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
Oh, I saw this one there.
Oh,
and
really?
Your favorite rapper was doing this. And you think, really? Oh, she went to France on her own? Well, as...
Is she revealing actual names?
See, she's not revealing names.
Because there will
names.
Be a lot of politicians in there.
She's not revealing names just yet, but she's revealing blatant hints.
We must get her in.
Please get her here. Oh. That's going to be so good.
So I'm not spreading anything because this is what she tweeted. Yesterday, sometimes she said, oh, your favorite rapper has to make several visits. And I'm paraphrasing. You can find her actual words on her Twitter timeline. She says, your favorite rapper still has to make several visits to the hockey club to pay for Anati producing his hits.
Ooh. Okay, I mean, that's either AKA or Casper Nyovest.
There we go.
It's one of the two.
So I mean, we could be asking Jackie Pamotse to be the consulting producer on your reality show here.
That is fantastic. She's not just the producer; she's the creative consultant on this one.
My ass is wall the fuck out.
The hockey club.
Imagine how wall the fuck out it is after a night at the hockey club.
Michelle says, "All I picture as a blesser is Kenny Cornell and his sushi-covered body." Mm.
Much bigger ball players than Kenny Kunene, hey?
Yeah. Then Ben's idea is great, says someone else. That's nice, Ben. You occasionally do get some praise, huh? There it is. Let's just take a moment to think about this. This is from Sean. Ben's idea is great. The first test should be about looks. An amount of, say, 12 of the hottest women or men gets put through Ben's rigorous tests. That is something I would watch.
Yeah. So you've got to be thrown into a country where you can't speak the language and your passport's gone missing. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. And I feel like one of the tests in the men's competition should be how long you can stay hard for.
Exactly.
Because that speaks to virility.
Yes, I agree. Speaks a lot of what he's about.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Stamina.
Yeah, stamina. Okay. Yeah. So that should be a criteria.
The minute you start getting soft,
I'm going to write that down.
And then you should have to like mule some drugs at some stage.
Yeah. Yes.
And obviously, like, you know, prevent a knife crime. And obviously, like, do, like, old age home duty.
A skill set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, we could have, like, 10 amazing things to do. And if you do that, then you are the Miss or the Mister of your country.
Yeah.
Because you're the most capable individual.
I mean, who even knows who Mister South... I always think it's so funny. You know, I meet these people and they're like, yeah, I was Mister South Africa in, like, 1988. I'm like, really? You wouldn't tell people that. Would you tell people if you'd been Mr. Nobody knows who Mr. South Africa is. That's like being, you know, it's like being Oprah's partner. What's his name? Sherman. What's
Stedman.
Shulman.
Sherman.
Stedman. That's it. Who knows what it is? Who cares, right? Like Mr. South Africa. Who's paying attention?
Mr. South Africa is an opportunity for a male modeling career.
Oh, come on. Not even.
Let's just call it what it is.
If you're a male model, the last thing you have time for is some stupid pageant we have to raise money for charity.
Okay.
If you're a male model of any repute, you're already working.
Mr. South Africa is a springboard for a hair wax endorsement, Gareth.
Not everyone's got a thing.
But all of these things are just platforms for that. It's a springboard. No, even Miss South Africa.
I would agree, Miss South Africa, or even this Miss Blesser that we're talking about, even Ben's Miss, the new kind of Miss or Mister. But Mr. South Africa, as it is at the moment, is just an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment.
But you know, for your year of reign, you'll just be called here and then. You'll be getting free stuff.
I suppose it's for people who want to be invited to things.
Mr. South Africa is a springboard for motivational speaking.
Yes, that's probably what it is.
Motivational speaking.
And anyone can do motivational speaking.
And here's Jared, Mr. South Africa, 2007. Well, you know, I never used to look like this. I used to be like you. But I made the change, and so can you today.
Yeah, I got hair plugs with Hansi and Jacques Cullis.
Yeah, I took money with Hansi, but now look, I turned my way, turned my life around.
I don't even know when it happens.
Someone put up like a status the other day. Was apparently the anniversary of like Hansi's death, and I saw some status go up, and I was like, oh Jesus,
people
really?
People are still making you think about that.
I know.
Like, everyone dies eventually. Some don't always just die in plane crashes while taking money, but I mean, everyone's got a story. Let's leave him alone. Like, how do you think Hansi's wife, widow,
she's moved on.
But like, how does she feel when she sees this cuck coming out on social media again?
She's like, oh, these people dragging that up again. All right, anyway, Chris in Hillcrest says, woohoo and good morning to all of you. I am the only one who wakes up and is happy in my family. They all hate me in the morning. Well, Chris, good for you. Everybody needs a...
Everybody hates Chris. There's a show about that.
Amanda says, good morning, everybody, and hello, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Yes. Hey, Ben, says Robert.
Yes, Robert.
Karen. I'm not sure you could talk about growing a pair when yours are all shriveled every morning.
Not the slightest. But keep it up. You're really hitting it home.
Hey, guys, the booby trap prize in your show would be being blessed by a Catholic priest.
Oh,
that's good. That's bad news for Sia.
Yeah, well... Why? Well, you're the most childlike.
Small boy.
Oh. Look, I wouldn't ben mind a lot.
They're not really into adults so much.
Ben and I are way too old for the priests to even give us a second life.
I wouldn't mind a life in the Vatican. I mean, like, the Pope just auctioned off his Lamborghini the other day. You know, he drives around in fancy cars.
No, he doesn't. He drives in that hideous Pope Mobile. Have you seen that thing?
Excuse me?
Have you seen what the Pope Mobile looks like?
What is not fancy about that? In the glass
type
box?
Type in Pope Mobile. Yes. Tell me if you'd be proud to be in that stupid car.
Absolutely.
Looks like a noddy car.
I'm stuck in traffic and everyone gets to see me and I just get away. Oh, yes. And then he wears those long robes, fashion forward. I'm pretty.
Fashion forward? First of all, he dresses like your mom and you have to call him dad. Father. Second of all, men haven't dressed like that since the 1600s. That's not fashion forward. That's fashion backward.
Does the Pope wear any jewelry?
No.
Oh,
unless he wears that big Fisher ring. They call it a Fisher ring, which is the...
What's the stone and the ring?
Could be anything he wants, I suppose.
Fabulous. Okay, I'm in. Yeah.
Fabulous.
And you get to drink
wine. You see why the
wine.
Church is such a magnet for sexually ambiguous.
I was about to say, choose your words very carefully.
All right, we're going down a rabbit hole here. Let's get stuck into some news. Mubs has got the 5 things you need to know today. Are you ready for them? Because she is. And if my buddy's ready, she's going to get cracking, whether you like it or not.
La 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 la.
The NPA boss, Sean Abrams, has decided to turn down Jacob Zuma's request to put the corruption trial on ice. It was turned down in a letter written by Abrams to Zuma's lawyers. Quote, I regrettably cannot accede to your request for a stay of proceedings in all criminal and allied matters.
Oh, it's so weird how Sean finds his balls when he's a different boss.
There they were minding their own business at the offices of MTN last week, and then all of a sudden they're being raided by the Hawks.
What?
Yeah. MTN now confirming that its offices were indeed raided. The company said that the Priority Crime Investigation Unit was looking for documents and equipment linked to Turkish operator Turkcell.
Oh.
Yes, this is actually an investigation that's been ongoing since 2012. It was initiated following claims by Iranian cell service provider Turkcell that has now accused MTN of bribing Iranian government officials to secure a lucrative operating license. So last week, the Hawks under Brigadier Hangwani Mulaudzi stormed in there. They said they were looking for documents. And then only yesterday, MTN decided to make it known that, oh yes, by the way, last week our offices were raided by these guys.
Well, I mean, could things get any worse for MTN? They really look terrible at the moment. I don't know how anyone could invest in MTN. I don't know how anyone could use them as their network provider. It just seems to me that they're a disaster from beginning to end. Maybe it's just in the news at the moment, but that doesn't sound good. You know, when the Hawks come and raid your corporate headquarters, yes, sus. I mean, we're talking like, remember the banking crisis? Fannie Mae and, remember those companies, those home loan companies in America?
FBI, Fannie Mae.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, I think they were.
Okay.
Yeah, that was what caused the financial crisis.
The Health Minister, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, has dismissed claims that the public health sector is on the verge of collapse. He did, however, concede that the system is very distressed.
Yeah, of course it is, which means it's on the verge of collapse.
He was responding to the Health Ombudsman, Malikhupu Rumakhoba's comment, which was made during an interview over the weekend, that many life esidimenis are taking place across the country.
Oy, oy, oy.
But then in Tshwane yesterday, the health minister addressed a media briefing where he said that the burden of disease in the country has led the demand of healthcare to grow exponentially, leaving the system extremely overloaded. Look, I suppose it's also part of his job to, you know, try and make it sound like it's not as bad as it is. But if you take a look at what was happening at, which hospital was it just the other day where staff members were...
Charlotte Maxleica
Hospital with staff members
it's an absolute
striking
mess.
You know, government institutions are constantly, you know, being exposed for their lack of services in certain areas. So it's a distressing time for the health minister, I'm sure.
Oh, another great example of how government can run things well. Total incompetence. It's just horrendous. I mean, Aaron Motsoaledi, with the best will in the world, can't fix this. If you end up at a government hospital, just get one of those pens and start drawing the lines on the wall of how many days you have left to live. It's that bad. And this is what most people have to rely on. And this is the guy who wants to start a national health insurance. In other words, take everybody, tax us more so they can grow the public healthcare system. Can provide worse services to more people? No, thank you. No, thank you. Not my problem, not my fault, not my issue. Your fuck up. You deal with it. And until you can get the public healthcare system working, don't even think about trying to take more money from us. We spend billions on healthcare in this country. I'm talking about public healthcare. I'm not even talking about the private sector. Billions. And they cannot spend that money properly. And the people in charge of spending that money are terrible at their jobs. So until that's figured out, you have a cheek asking for more money. And Aaron Motsoaledi is one of the more competent ministers in our cabinet. That's saying something. Can you imagine how much worse the incompetent ones are? Jesus. I'm not surprised that the public healthcare sector is on the verge of collapse. And when he says it's severely distressed, when you have a work colleague and they're severely distressed, guess what's next? Collapse. Mm. You know what you say to a work colleague who's severely distressed? Go home and sleep, or go home and get some medicine. Go and see a psychiatrist. You don't say to them, we'll just keep pushing on, huh? It's just language. It's on the verge of collapse. Mismanaged into the ground. And then there are people who say, no, we must definitely give the state more of our things and more of our money and more of a responsibility. Terrible idea. What else?
Yeah, either you're a glass half full, half empty kind of person, and Kanye West believes that him being diagnosed with a mental disorder is his superpower. So, you know.
Yeah, I saw he's even named his, I saw an album cover or something with bipolar.
I hate
bipolar. It's awesome.
Sure. So the rapper made the proclamation during an interview with Big Boy TV. Uh-huh. And he says that, you know, he only got diagnosed at the age of 39. He is now 40 years old. But yeah, he says, nope, this is not a disability. It's my superpower.
Well, are you a glass half empty or glass half full person? You know the difference. Glass half full person is an optimist. Glass half empty person is someone who goes, oh my God, it's terrible, I'm losing. Pessimist. But they're both in the same position, really. It's an attitude thing. Which one? It's obvious. You don't need to answer. Ben?
Sure. I'd love to say I'm a glass half full person, but I have my moments.
Yeah, depends. Changes for me.
I would say 60-40 half full.
Okay. That's an honest appraisal. Mubs, you say 60-40?
No, 70-30.
Of? What's the 70?
Half empty.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. Here are the cryptocurrencies for this morning. $7,599.68 a Bitcoin, and Ethereum is at $600.65. Those are the numbers. Let's get to Ben. See what's going on the sport. Ben, tell us what's happening.
Well, Gareth, today we've got the Forbes richest list of all sports stars. Sergio Ramos said Mahershala should have played on in the Champions League. Djokovic loses to some Italian guy. And Man United signed Fred.
Tell us more.
Yeah, every year. So Forbes have this amazing list, which they show you who's really rich because of sport. And again, Floyd Money Mayweather tops the list.
Oh.
Obviously, because of that massive kind of homoerotic thing with Conor McGregor, he made $285 million.
Wow.
$285. Only $10 million of endorsements. Little Messi, this is going to really piss Ronaldo off. Messi is second. A full $3 million more than Cristiano Ronaldo. Ronaldo gets more endorsements, but Messi gets more salary / winnings. Then we've got Mayweather's sparring partner, McGregor, at $99 million. He's in fourth place. Neymar is in fifth because Paris Saint-Germain basically gave him the entire GDP of an African country. And LeBron James, he is number six. Roger Federer, number seven. Steph Curry, number eight. Matt Ryan, the NFL player, number nine. And Matthew Stafford, you've never heard of this man in your entire life, but he's the 10th richest sports star in the world. Now, there's loads of money, obviously, in American sports, as we say each year. So you'll have loads of baseball players, American footballers, and basketball players.
Okay.
Lewis Hamilton, from a F1 perspective, is the 12th richest sports star in the entire world. And then golf, Tiger Woods, 43.3 last year, of which only 1.3 million were earnings. Then Sebastian Vettel, number 18, Adele, number 20. And we go further down, Rory McIlroy, another golfer at 26. Cricketers, rugby players, never a rugby player on this list. Never, ever, ever. What happens to the cricketers is generally either going to be MS Dhoni or Virat Kohli. Usain Bolt is still making money. Only $1 million from earnings, but $30 million on the endorsements. He'll stay on the list, even though he's no longer a runner. Yep, I'm still not seeing cricketers or rugby players. And most notably, no women's. Now that is because Serena Williams had a baby. She didn't play, therefore she didn't get all the cash. Maria Sharapova obviously took drugs, so she didn't get all the cash. So Virat Kohli is 83. It's your first cricketer in the list. Probably the only one. And that's sport, huh? Be American or be a footballer.
Yeah,
or those, just also be a golfer.
Those are the only ways to earn serious money in sport.
Of course, people will say, well, why aren't there more women? But that's just an economic thing about supply, demand, and women don't really watch other women play sport. That's a very sort of...
That's controversial.
Superficial scan over, perhaps, by me.
Well,
but
I
we
mean,
can really delve into it some other time.
Do you know, they don't have the bodies that soccer players do. That's the only reason I watch soccer.
Well, people could say
bodies,
well,
man.
Female volleyball players do, but then again, it's just a cut game.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
It's a boring game.
You know. You watch tennis, though.
Yeah, but I love tennis. That's the difference.
Yeah. Well, speaking of tennis, I told you Djokovic is out. And he was looking like he might come back, but Cecinato, he said, screw that. Four sets, he beat Djokovic. boom, into the semifinals. Ooh. I think he's the first Italian to make the semifinals at Roland Garros, Italian male, that is, in like 40 years. We thought Zverev would be a bit knackered after those five setters. Well, he was. Dominic Thiem beat him 6-4, 6-2, 6-1. Easy as you like. The Austrian is through. And those two, well, then on the other side of the draw, Nadal will play Schwartzman, and then Cilic will play Del Potro. In the women's draw, well, the Americans, Keys and Stevens, they are wrapping up the bottom side of that draw. So they're into the semifinals together after Keys beat Plisleva.
Oh, there you go.
There you go, Ben.
Plisleva.
Yeah.
Putintseva.
It's out there now.
Her name's actually Putintseva.
Oh.
I'm not making that up. Mm. And then Kasatkina, she lost to Sloane Stephens. So top side of the draw is a very European affair. Halep will be taking on Kerber, and Muguruza will be taking on Sharapova. Sharapova's slaying. Mm. Yeah, slaying. She's in good form. She had a walkover in the last game. She's fresh. As did Muguruza, actually. So they're going to be brewing to go, those two. We all know Sergio Ramos. He's that prick who plays for Real Madrid. He says Mo Salah should have played on in the Champions League final. He should have just taken an injection like anyone else does and just played on. He also denies using a judo throw to take him down. And of course, he's just covering his tracks because that's what he does. He's just a bit of a horrible individual. He also denies the fact that his blow to that goalkeeper's head had any bearing on his concussion. So yeah, nice guy, that one. But it's so funny. He just says, like, everyone gets injured, you just get an injection and you play on. This guy really is just the role model of role models, isn't he?
For sure.
Speaking of European football, a whole truck ton. See, I'm trying to clear up my language. A whole truck ton of money is coming into the leagues.
Oh, really?
An extra £787 million into the Champions League, the Europa League, and the UEFA Super Cup, which is basically when the Europa League champions take on the Champions League champion. So, last year, clubs were given a share of £2.06 billion. I'm using pounds here because that's the big boy currency. But that figure is now up to £2.84 billion. So if you... Okay, obviously there's administrative costs and there's people on the take, so that'll be £457 million that'll just go towards people who are just, you know, leeching from the system. But this whole Europa Super Cup thing, well, just by playing in it, you get £3.06 million just for competing in the match. You get extra £870 million if you win it. But this is how it basically stacks up. £1.7 billion goes in the Champions League. If you just make it into the actual thing, just into the group stages, £13.34 million goes to your club.
Jesus.
Yeah, how cool is that, huh? It's very and if you good. If you win a match, you get £2.36 million. If you draw a match, you get £787,000. So if you like at Leicester, who went, remember Leicester were nowhere. They won the league. Yeah. They got into the Champions League. Suddenly that is so much money. Like they were like fish and chip money. Suddenly they're like Bugatti money.
But Ben, this is what happens when you win. Exactly. And I hope someone in South African Sports Administration is paying attention. Because this is the most important thing you could possibly hear if you're in Sports Administration. Win and the money comes.
Exactly. And then you don't have to just keep stealing from other places. Although that's all they know because they're just thieves. If you make the finals of the Champions League, you just get £13.12 million to get in the final with an additional 3.5 to win. So yes, the moral of the story is if you have a European football team, then you make lots of money. You can make lots of money. Speaking of lots of money, Man United always have it. They're a publicly listed company, but they always seem to be pulling money out of all kinds of holes. They've just signed Fred from Shakhtar Donetsk for £47 million.
I love that his name is Fred.
Well, of course, he's Brazilian. Yes. You earn the right to just have one name. So, like Ronaldo, Fred. Firmino.
What if it's like short Neymar. For Frederico?
No, he's just Fred.
Oh, okay.
Like Hulk. You can just rock it one namer.
Well, writes it, Fred.
If I was a sports star, I would just have one name. I'd make it up. I don't care what sport it would be. It's one name. Just own it. So Mourinho believes that he's got some dead wood he wants to shift over the summer. So he's bringing Fred in. And he's also courting a young Portuguese man.
Ooh.
Well, he's also trying to sign a young guy from Porto. Sorry, the phrasing there was terrible.
Yes, you sounded like you were setting them up on a blind date.
Yeah, Diogo Dalot. He might be coming through. His release clause is £17.4 million. So much money in today's sport. And it looks like that'll happen. And the Brazilian coach, he makes a very good point ahead of the World Cup, which is happening in 7 days' time. He says he wants all his players' domestic issues to be done and dusted before they get to the tournament. So there's none of this dicking around with money and who's going where. You got to focus on the main thing, the main trophy, the big prize.
Yeah, World Cup time.
Yeah.
How many days?
7 days, Gareth. 7 days to go.
It's just around the corner. Normally by now I'd be jumping up and down.
Yeah, well, I've got lots of interesting things coming to you for the World Cup, which I'll be releasing close to the time. So don't worry, I've got your back.
Awesome.
You'll know exactly what you need to know, and everything's just going to be A-okay. Finally, the English. They are in South Africa right now to play the Springboks. The first test will be at Ellis Park. But Eddie Jones said, screw it, we don't like Joburg. We're going to stay in Durban.
Oh.
Now, it's always like a big thing. You have a strategy, because when you go play rugby in South Africa, you've got altitude to worry about. So you play matches at the coast. There's some lovely stadiums like PE, Cape Town, Durban. But then there's altitude, where it's Loftus-Versfeld in Pretoria and Ellis Park, of course, in Johannesburg. Yes. So you either say, well, we're spending a whole week with altitude, or we'll go somewhere else and fly up before the match. But they're going to fly up on Thursday by the looks of things. And Springbok coach Rassie Erasmus says this is quite a curious decision because, you know, they're going to come across a bit flat. Altitude does have a huge impact on these guys. Some of them have never played at altitude before like this. And remember, this isn't the full-strength English side. They've had a load of injuries. Even Joe Launchbury, who's currently with the squad, there's a doubt over his abilities to play the match on Saturday.
So does this mean if they're not a full strength side and they're going to be playing at altitude for the first time, some of them, that we actually have a chance of winning?
Yes, Gareth. That's what it comes down to. So Eddie Jones, no doubt, has a plan. Okay. He's very familiar with South African conditions. He, of course, is very good friends with Jake White. He was part of the Springbok setup in 2007. But this is his strategy. Eddie Jones has had a bit of a shit time of it recently, though. The English team has been beaten heavily. They lost quite a few matches in the Six Nations. There's huge pressure on them to try to win the World Cup next year because that's such a run of those 18 victories. But now all to play for as he tries to get more depth and strength out of his squad from players that he probably doesn't want to pick, which makes it quite tough for him. So now he has to be nice to people who he didn't actually really want to talk to. That's the sort of back end of it. Anyway, tomorrow is Thursday, and there'll be more news around the Springbok camp, not just the cliches like they're looking to give 110%, which is currently in the press for you.
Is that what people are saying?
Yeah, there's no stories. So you'll have journalists go, well, you know, the box really talk about how vibe is different this time around, and they're so focused to do something and blah, blah, blah. Give us a real story.
That's so bad.
Give us a real story.
They're going to give 110%.
Yeah, really looking to start fresh.
Do people even pay attention to that shit?
Yeah.
All right. Here's a message from Jared, apropos our discussion with Mabali earlier about the public healthcare system and Aaron Motsoaledi's comments after an interview with the public health ombudsman. Going to the emergency room at a public hospital on a Friday night is terrifying. I had to take my brother, who broke his collarbone back when I was a student and did not have medical aid. We had to sit in a room after signing in. There was a drunk guy sitting next to me bleeding profusely from what looked like a stab wound on his arm. I asked the nurse if they could do something for him. They just looked at me and said he had to wait in line like the rest. The public healthcare system is a joke, Jared. Yeah, I've heard horror stories. I mean, we talked to some of the doctors who have to put up with what goes on in these public healthcare systems. That's scary. They don't have resources. They aren't enough beds. They have to work 14, 20, 23-hour days. It's just insane. Can you imagine if you're a doctor who's been at work for more than 12 hours dealing with emergencies for more than 12 hours, and this is apparently standard. By the 14th, 15th hour, you're exhausted, man. You're not doing great work. There's no human being that can.
We should get politicians to only get treated at hospitals the government.
Of course, but
that
would
be interesting for them.
It's never going to happen. They don't even send their kids to public schools. They send their kids to private schools.
Like, yeah, they have the means to do so. So why would they rely on government services?
Don't do what I say. You know, I mean, don't do what I do. Do what I say. Mm. That's what they want. All right, we're going to get to Said by Sia now, which, of course, for some people is the best part of their morning. Sia helps us to navigate the treacherous waters of the early morning in order to get something to smile about. Oh, let's take it away, Sia.
This is such an awesome story, and Reason 4,387,203 why women can have these greater claims and really why they run everything, including our homes. So this is all taking place in northern Zimbabwe, where the wives of underpaid mine workers were like, actually, screw it. If you guys are not being paid your salaries, we are going to protest on your behalves. They stage a four-month sit-in to demand their husbands to be paid their full wage. And what has happened? Yes, they got their full wages back.
Oh, good.
And they also got entrepreneurship training for the wives themselves. Wow. This has been amazing because these women all banded together after they were seeing their husbands suffering since 2013. Some of these mine workers have not been paid their full salaries. So these wives all got together. They made these makeshift tents at the front of this HCCL mine, made of like tree trunks and sacks. And that is where they said, we are not leaving until this issue is solved. This all happened in the northwestern town of Hangwe. And eventually, this company had to cave in. They apologized, and the women were not taking no for an answer. The company were saying, no, we've been in financial trouble since 2013. And these women basically were saying, but we have families to feed, and we have lives to move on with. And right now, you're ruining us, so this is not on and not happening at all. So now, finally, the company has caved in and paid more than 2,000 of their staff $5,000 in arrears for the last couple of years. And more than that, the women have been saying, well, look, you've screwed our men over. What were we able to do out of this? We had to take the second or third jobs. And so what are you going to do about that? Mm-hmm. So now the company have had to also put down a commitment to helping women in some sort of skill training program, the likes of pig or poultry farming and the likes of sewing lessons as well, so that if, heaven forbid, this were to happen again, these women were able to sustain themselves in other ways and avenues again. So I think this is so badass. This is so rockstar. These women were saying, we are going to stand up for ourselves. And in an environment as well in the northwestern town of Hwangwe in Zimbabwe where, you know, women speaking out still isn't the norm. And they were the ones who stood up for their husbands and their families and said, this is not on. And finally, they made something happen. So I think it's such a feel-good story. And it's awesome news coming from Zimbabwe this morning for your Sit by Sia.
All right. Good news out of Zim. That's a nice change for what we're used to hearing. It is 6:07. CliffCentral.com. Lots of messages coming in. Some people with horror stories in the public healthcare system. Apparently, a call is 30 hours in a state hospital. 30 hours? That's not possible. Humans can't function without sleep for 30 hours. Mm. Those last 10 hours, you're a disaster. I mean, even 10 hours is it's just crazy, especially for that level of stress. Mm-mm-mm.
And a little nap doesn't cut it. I've spoken to some people in the medical world and they say, oh no, but we have a room on the side and between calls we'll just nap there. No,
it's no way to live.
It's not healthy.
My father had to go to the Ishowe Hospital as it is the only one near us, and we had to take knives and forks for him to eat because they didn't have any of those. Didn't even have knives and forks, let alone surgical equipment. Can you imagine how rare that is? It is 6:07. Wednesday morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.